Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We pray that the Lord will speak to us today with courage. My name is Jordan Gash. I'm the community life pastor here at Crossline. I want to thank you guys for coming and being part of our service today, whether you're joining us online or if you're out in the patio. And to all my friends at the chapel, it's good to see you guys. I'm glad you guys are here. So this last weekend, obviously it's Friday night and then tonight, and then obviously we've been having this journey to Bethlehem. And I'm excited because I had the opportunity to play a new character. A new character in my cast. I got to play the angel Gabriel. So that was kind of fun. I told myself, you know what, if I'm going to play the angel Gabriel, and we were talking with Gayla about this, I said, if I'm going to play the angel Gabriel, we're going to do this right. Because angels aren't wimps. I'm not going to be no wimpy angel. So like we talked about like how can we get the most amazing armor? We want to make sure we have like all of kind of the gear and these huge wings. And then I told myself I'm going to bring my sword. So I brought a sword and I strapped this thing to my back. And it's been a lot of fun as we've been seeing kind of tons of kids and tons of parents and families and lots of people just kind of showing up and being a part of Journey to Bethlehem. It's really been an awesome time, and I loved kind of being able to play this character. But I want to talk to you guys for a moment about the sword, because it's been a while since I've taken this out. But this is really special to me. This sword particularly. And after Friday night, I was kind of taking off all of my costume, and I was kind of sitting down, and I looked at my sword, and I was reminded that it was a gift. My parents gave this sword to me for my high school graduation. And you say, well, why would parents give their kid a sword for high school graduation? Because I was 18, and I wanted swords. It was awesome. That was a great gift. But I sat there and I looked at what the inscription said that my parents put. And they said, Jordan Gash, defender of the faith, dangerous for God, forever proud of you, forever your partners, mom and dad. June 10th, 2004. Yeah. And here I am. 16 and a half years later, and as I'm sitting there, I was convicted by this statement. I was convicted by this statement that was put on my sword, because I'm seeing, friends, that this time that we're living in is a time that demands courage. With every single day that passes, with every single moment that we step into, it is begging the followers of Christ, those that would claim the name of Christ, to stand up and be courageous. Because it's not getting easier. We're facing more affliction. We're facing more challenges. And so we have to step into it. And so if we want to be a leader in Christ, if we want to really take new territory, we must be defenders for God. We must take courage and rise up and bear and wield the sword of God. I'm seeing that if we want to have victory, we need to be able to wield the authority of God that's been given to us through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and step into this world. And so here I was 16 and a half years later, and it's hitting me. It's hitting me here in 2020. And this series has been so powerful for us right now. We're kind of in this final part of this series called Could It Be? And we've been asking kind of that question, that important question, that question of could it be that in the midst of all of the disruptions and the pain and the chaos and the confusion and the heartache of 2020, with all of the interruptions with our conveniences and routines and the comfort of predictability, with all of the groping and reaching and stretching for hope and peace and rest, in all of that, could it be that God has something magnificently new for you? Could it be that he has something magnificently new for you? Something that you cannot even fathom. Something truly miraculous. Something with new exhortation, intention, revelation, preparation, and transition. A new, completely unlike the old. Could it be? And Jesus doesn't leave that question unanswered for us. He never has. Because the answer is a definitive yes, it is. I have something new for you. I have something great and magnificent for you. I'm calling you forward into a new chapter in your life, filled with new wine and new revelation and new intention. Yes, it is. And because it is, as we step in today, because we know that it is, that God has a plan, that he has a purpose in all this, that he wants to do something new in our life, because of that, we are going forward. And we're going forward with an attitude that is described by the phrase, full send. Full send. Now, the millennials here probably know what full send means. But others that don't know what full send means, I want to give you a little definition of what full send means. Full send means this: doing something full throttle and with 100% commitment without regard to the consequences. We are moving in full faith and in full commitment, not knowing the outcome, but we advance anyway, because we know who it is that leads us and that is guiding us, and we are following him full send into the new. That is where we find ourselves today. And so we are stepping into this series, this final part of this series, with courage, with strength, knowing that we are following our Lord and Savior, Commander Jesus Christ, into something brand new. And so today, church, together, we are going to step forward and leave behind the old structures that we've been living by, the old way of doing things, because that old way, that old structure cannot hold the new and great and expansive promises that God has for your life. We are stepping into the new, and today is going to be a stamping message about that moment that we're going to take. Would you guys pray with me as we step into what God's word has to say to us today? Jesus, we see that you're moving. We see that you're moving, that you're doing something new, that you're doing something amazing, God, and we want to follow you with that attitude of full surrender, full commitment, 100%, full throttle, all in. Not needing to know what is to come, but knowing that you have great plans for us, Jesus. Thank you for this church, and thank you for all that you're doing within this church, God. We want more. I'm not ashamed to ask for more of you, Jesus, for us and this church, because the world needs it, God. So strengthen us, fill us with your spirit right now. We ask this in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Well, we're going to be picking up the story today that we've been going through the last couple weeks in Joshua 3. So if you guys have your Bibles, you guys can flip there. But we're going to be in Joshua 3. And I want to give a little bit of context of where we find the Israelites in Joshua, in Joshua 3. So Joshua comes, and he's now here at the bank of the Jordan River. And just beyond the Jordan River is the promised land, the land of Canaan that had been promised to the Israelites. And so they're looking into this, and they're filled with excitement. But we also need to know that Joshua had been here before. Joshua had been here before, 40 years earlier, and he had looked into the promised land. He had looked at the mighty things that God had for them. And yet, that day, fear won out. Fear won out with the community. They let all of the surrounding circumstances that they see paralyze them from following the God that had called them. all the things that they looked around and all of the fears and all the anxieties and chaos of kind of stepping into this new land that had giants and who knows what else out there, they let it paralyze them. And so once again, in Joshua 3, we have Joshua standing there at the bank of the Jordan for a second time. And he wanted to do it right this time. Joshua had been through a lot. He had lived as being guided by the leader, Moses, and he had seen miracles. He had seen things happen. He'd seen disappointments. He'd lived a lot of life, and now he comes to it, and Moses is gone. Moses is gone, and it's game time for Joshua, and I could just imagine those words ringing in his ears, the words of God spoken over his life, be strong and courageous. And that's where we find ourselves in the start of Joshua 3. So we're going to begin, and we're going to read the whole thing in entirety, and then we'll kind of go back and look at each part of it. So Joshua 3, starting verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and they went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at the flood stage during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the waters flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. As we go back and we look at this incredible story that we see in Joshua 3, I want to remind us of the central character of the story. Now, the central character is not Joshua. The central character is not the Israelites. And the central character is not the Levites. It is very easy to see that the central character of this story is the Ark of the Covenant. The camera is zoomed in on the Ark of the Covenant and its movements. That's what this story is truly focusing on. And this holy chest was filled with the laws and the commands that God had given Moses there on the mountain. And they had put this in the ark. And they saw that the ark represented the very presence of the Lord, where they can actually meet and dwell with the Lord. And so they have this great kind of view of the ark of God and seeing it, like I said, as his presence. And so make no mistake, as we look at this story, the people are following the ark. People are following the ark in the presence of God. And what that meant for the Israelites is the same thing that following Jesus for us today means to us. here in 2020. And so I think that when we can get a little bit of disoriented and lost as followers of Jesus, when we assume that the primary character of our story is ourselves. Make no mistake, it's God is the primary character in our story. So we need to focus on that. And so as I see this passage, I see really four observations that we can take on what it means to follow Jesus. What does that prompt? And the first thing you could see is that following Jesus means we arise. We arise, we get up, we get going. Let's look at verses 1-3. It says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. The Israelites were told to look for the signal. And that signal was when the Ark of the Covenant comes up and comes out and begins to actually advance. That is, get up, start moving, follow it. It's going, and you need to move. So arise, get up. And so when we look at Jesus here in 2020, his word tells us that he's got promises that this would happen, and that he is calling us to arise and to follow him and to move, because he's moving in a mighty and new way in our land right now in 2020. I hope you can see that. And so we have to arise. And I hate to admit it, but I think there's just a lot of us here in this room and all over the world. I just think there's a lot of us that are so distracted. We're about all the things we're freaking out about, all of the news and all of these other things that can get us distracted, and politics and COVID and all this stuff. We're so stuck in that moment that we're missing it. We're missing the movement. We're not watching for the signal, the movements of God. And so it's like the people, right? That, you know, you're at the stoplight and the light turns green and the car in front of you doesn't move, because that person is social media, right? You know, or texting and all these different things. And you're like sitting there like, okay, it's green. And you're sitting there like, I want to be nice. I'll give them a little bit of time. And then you're like, okay, this person's not moving. And give them a little like, beep, beep, hey, come on. And some of that. And then like all of a sudden they like blast out. And then you're like, you come up and then the light turns orange and then red and then you miss it. And then you get tested as a Christian. So, there was like those moments. I just feel like, guys, the light is green. God is green. It's going. Stop scrolling. Stop looking at all this news. How many of us are hitting the snooze on Jesus because we stayed up too late last night with all of the news and with all of the social media, with all the indulgences of our addictions, with all those different things, that when Jesus is calling, when Jesus gives the signal, we're missing it? He's calling us to arise. And so I want us to know, and again, this whole message is really meant for us as a church, and we're going to be using these statements, these "we will" statements as a church. And so the first "we will" statement that I'm going to give to you is as a church, we will arise to follow Jesus. Amen. We will arise to follow Jesus. The second thing that we can see is that following Jesus means that we must anticipate. It says in 3:5, this is powerful. I love this verse. It says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Can we just pause for a moment? Just like imagine that. Like imagine like in 2020, like what would that do for you if it was told that God will do amazing things among you tomorrow? How would you respond to that? What would your emotions be? Just kind of placing yourself in this story. Maybe take it a bit more personal. What would it mean to you if you knew that God was going to do amazing things among you, you specifically, personally, tomorrow. I know that in this room, there are marriages that are falling apart. I know that there are loved ones that are very, very sick. I know that there are parents that are praying desperately for their prodigal to return. I know that there are people here that have been thinking about taking their life. And I know that there are men in this room that are in bondage to their addiction to porn. What would it mean to you personally if you knew that tomorrow God was going to do amazing things among you? And let's expand it. Let's expand it to our church. Let's expand it for what would it mean if we knew that God was going to do amazing things among us as Crossline, as a church? You see, our roots of division need to be pulled up. Our tongues must be loosened to speak boldly and powerfully about the name of Jesus and be his witness and to invite others. They need to be loosened. We need to see that our serve me minds can be transformed into a serve you mindset. And by the power of the Holy Spirit filling us, and we can know that we have the power to lay our hands on people and to watch the Spirit of God come into them and fill them. As a church, what would that mean if we knew that God was going to do amazing things among us? Because when we lose anticipation, we lose hope. When we lose anticipation, we lose hope. And without hope, we cannot recognize God's interruptions as being for our good. Jesus said to a desperate woman in John 4, a woman with a lot of baggage, he said, "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, and they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." Her despair was transformed into hope, and her hope led her to go then share this good news with her whole village and lead her whole village to the foot of the Messiah. Anticipation stirs hope. And yes, there is amazing things that God has for us, but I want us to see that there is something that precedes that. We don't want to miss it. In verse 5, what does it say? It says, consecrate yourself. Consecrate means to make or declare sacred, to set apart or dedicate to service to God. If you believe that God wants to do amazing things among you, you need to surrender your life to him. You need to leave the camp that you've been living in and all the baggage that goes and move forward with Jesus. Because the new inner commitment precedes this new amazing chapter and the outpouring of his power. And the direction of the miraculous life is always in the going, not in the staying. So we are going, we're moving, expecting, full of anticipation. So as a church, we will anticipate the amazing works of Jesus. Amen. We will anticipate the amazing works of Jesus. And the next observation that I made is that following Jesus means we must activate. We need to activate. We're going to look at verses 8, starting at verse 8. It says, "Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, 'Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters downstream will be cut off and it will stand in a heap." Earlier this year, in week two of the 2020 NFL season, cool story happened. About 2 minutes before the game, a rookie quarterback named Justin Herbert was told that he's going to be playing, that he's going to be starting. There was a weird fluke with the starting quarterback that he had chest pain, and so literally 2 minutes before the game, Justin Herbert was told, "You're starting." And Justin Herbert, you know, he was in a tough spot because not only was he starting with 2 minutes' notice, but also the team that he was facing was the reigning Super Bowl champs, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. So he had his job cut out for him. And so when they came to him and the coach tells him, "You're in," Justin Herbert had a couple different choices that he could have made. He could have pointed at the other guy, the third string, that guy, he's great. He could have made all these different excuses. He could have been like, "I'm not ready." And he could have really backed it down. But he didn't. Because why? Justin Herbert, he wanted to play. And he'd been called to play. And so he ran out on that field. Not knowing necessarily the circumstances. Running out on the field. But then he put on his helmet and he began to listen in his headset to the directions from the coaches. And those directions began to go into his ear, and he went out there and he played. And he almost won too. I mean, it would have been really awesome for my illustration if he would have won. But hey, he came really close. And so in this part of the story, you can see that Joshua calls the Israelites and he tells them, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." And I love what the Holman Christian Standard Bible says, puts it this way. It just says, "Come closer. Come closer and listen." And Joshua tells them what's about to happen. He says, "We're going to be taking the Ark of the Covenant of God into the waters, and we will follow. We will follow that direction because we are going to see God do amazing things." And he forecasts this and he tells this to them. And so Jesus is asking us, church, he's asking, are you listening? Come closer and listen. He's asking, are you activated as my servant? Because he's calling you off the bench and into the game. So put on your helmet and listen. And that's why we've been doing these Selah moments too. We've been doing these Selah moments because we want to tune our ears to Jesus. We want to hear his voice more and more because he's calling us into something new. So we're coming closer. We're coming closer to listen. Jesus is telling us, bring my word into the waters. Bring my promises into the pressures and persecutions. Bring my truth into your tribulations. And he's telling us to bring my declaration into your difficulty. That's what he's calling us to. And there's this powerful verse in verse 12. And it says, "Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe." And I'm going to get back to that. But don't forget it. Hold on to that. We're going to come back to that particular passage. So, as we talk about activation, we're going to say, as a church, we will activate our service to Jesus. We'll activate our service to Jesus. And then finally, one last observation that I've made is that following Jesus means we must advance. Joshua 3, 14 through 17. This is the conclusion of this part of the story. It says, "So the people broke camp to cross the Jordan. The priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the waters flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Verse 15. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. So you look at verse 15 and you look at the circumstances and it seems like this would be kind of the most difficult time to advance. There's some heavy waters, you know, coming around. This is the most difficult time to move forward. And yet God didn't stutter. His command was clear. Advance. Move forward. And so now you're moving into this circumstance that seems very difficult. Not much unlike that we're in here today, 2020. And you're moving forward. And it's one of those things that there they were, step by step, advancing, moving forward, coming closer to the waters. And the noise is getting bigger. The noise is getting louder because, I mean, isn't it true, church, that like the closer we get to the river, the louder the roar of the waters become? So we're moving. And you're kind of going, still moving. A river's still going, it's still pretty strong, and they just step by step, one at a time, they're moving forward. And God is in this place where it's like, he's got them right where he wants them. Because he's going to blow their minds. And so he's sitting in this place, and they're moving thereby a little bit more and more. And it's one of those things where, again, God, if you don't do something here, we're going to get swept up. And this is a fun observation. Where are they going to get swept up and go to? The Dead Sea. You see, we walk in faith in Jesus, believing that he has the power to even deliver us from death. So we keep stepping, we keep advancing, we keep moving forward. And in this amazing moment, the priests then, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, set their feet in the waters, and this miracle happens. The waters stop up and they move forward, full send. They were going full send. They were not stopping. So when one reality stops, the other begins to take shape and is born of faith. Following Jesus means we advance. He tells us, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. And then it says, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. We have to have a Hebrews 10:39 spirit. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved. Full sin, we were standing at the edge. And you're looking. There's a lot of unknown out there. There's a lot of unknown of what's coming, but the invitation of Jesus is to advance, to move forward, and I will confirm the word I've given to you by the miraculous signs that you will see in your future, in your new life. So as a church, we will advance and take ground in the name of Jesus Christ. Where we are going, we go together. So whether you are here for the very first time or you were with us at the very, very beginning of Crossline, you are welcome here as part of our family. And today is a big day because we are stepping forward into something new and we are not going to leave anybody behind. Where we go together. Because Jesus has amazing new wine for us. And we cannot put it in the old wineskin. That old wineskin will burst. It'll be a big mess. No, God's got something brand new for us, and we are crossing over as a church, as Crossline Church, into the new. And like I said in the very beginning, it is going to take courage. One thing I can guarantee you, friends, is that your next step of faith will take courage. There's no room for cowards in the kingdom of God. We step forward in the strength of Jesus, knowing that he can give us that power. He can give us that strength. And so we are stepping into it. And you may be in this room, and this is all just, I mean, you're hearing all this. This is all fresh and new. And you're hearing this guy be all loud and passionate from the front about Jesus. And I'm just telling you, we are going together, and if you, friend, have never surrendered your life to Jesus, I know that there are amazing things that God has for your life. I know that there is something brand new, transformation, new revelation, new intention, new joy, new peace, new strength. He has those new things for you. This is not prosperity gospel. This is just the truth of Jesus. Jesus has something brand new, and it's not going to be like the old. It's going to be something brand new that you can't even expect. Yes, there'll be difficulty, but he will be with you in all those moments. So do not leave today not letting the Spirit of God enter your life. This is your chance to say yes to Jesus. Consecrate yourself today, because the Lord is going to do amazing works in your life tomorrow. So we take this moment to consecrate, to commit ourselves to who Jesus is. And we're doing this together as a church, but maybe this for you is the very first time that you're doing that, and we're excited by that. I want to invite you to surrender your life and follow Jesus. And so together, we're all going to pray this, whether this is for the first time or the 500th time. Let us all make this declaration. Would you repeat after me and say, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we are your servants. We believe that you died on the cross for our sins, and that you rose again for our salvation. God, we give our whole lives to you, and we are moving forward in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Step into this moment as we pray and we think and we sing out worship. And we have a special moment coming for you in just a moment that's going to be a seal for this day. If you're one of our pastors or elders or part of our prayer team, I invite you guys to actually step up, and you guys can move to the side right now as we sing this song.